Let's dive into this. So today, I don't know if you've noticed, but the scripture reading that's been being read every morning is 2 Timothy 1, 6, and 7. And if you focus in verse 7, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and self-control. The first lesson in the series, we talked about how we need to have courage over fear. And then last week, we talked about how we have been given the spirit of power. You see, we're going through each of these things that God has given us, right? And so today, naturally, God's also given us the spirit of love. And so it worked out perfectly with Evan and Becky, and I'm appreciative. You know, we had talked a little bit in 2024 about trying to get a directly focused service project ministry going to, you know, someone who could look and find opportunities for us to serve. And so I'm grateful that they are going to head that up. And like Evan said, I encourage you guys to do that because it's important. The reason I'm calling this the flames of love is because fire spreads, correct? You guys live in Southern California, so you knew, I live here now too. But I should say, a lot of you growing up in Southern California and living here probably for the majority of your lives, you understand the danger of fire and this dry climate out here in the West. You know, I grew up in Alabama, so it's not very likely. There have been fires. I mean, a few years ago, the Smoky Mountains in Gatlinburg, they had a really bad fire, and it burned down a lot of the Strip is what we call it. There's the Vegas Strip, and then there's the Gatlinburg Strip. Gatlinburg Strip is much more fun. But all this to say, fire can be dangerous. But let's use this metaphor, if you will, of the flames of love, because thinking about, you know, we want to spread God's love like fire. The flames of love. I have a couple of just quick little Google things of, you know, how does fire spread? And so obviously it spreads through conduction, right? Which is whenever fire makes direct contact with another object. Likewise, love, how can love spread if I directly contact someone with God's love, right? If I serve them in some way, if I just give them a listening ear, and actually take the time to put my phone down, look him in the eye, and say, what's going on? You can talk to me, right? Directly contact. Convection is when heat is transferred by the movement of heated liquid or gases. And so that one, you know, the way I kind of try to metaphorically describe that one is, you know, as a church, if we are a church that's on the move, going from place to place, moving from thing to thing, but that's all rooted in love, I think we also have opportunities to spread God's love. And then radiation, heat travels as electromagnetic waves, which can preheat and ignite other materials without any physical contact or medium. And so likewise, just being a community of genuine love can radiate God's love to people. When you actually live in love and actually care enough about people, I think people notice that. I think it's hard to notice. I don't think it's hard to notice. It's easy to notice is what I mean. And so with that said, we got a fairly long reading, but I think pretty quick application. So I would like you to open to 1 John chapter 3. We're going to pick up in verse 11. I almost decided to read the whole letter, but I decided against it for your sake, not for mine. But 1 John, because that's the thing, these are letters. They were written, they weren't chapters and verses. And so 1 John was one continuous letter that was written to the church, most likely in Ephesus. And so in 1 John chapter 3, I'm going to pick up in verse 11, and we're going to read all the way to chapter 5, verse 4. Okay? And so we're only going to be in 1 John, so you're not going to flip anywhere else today. And so let's read. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. We should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not be surprised then, brothers and sisters, that the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers.
But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and truth. By this we shall know we are of the truth and reassure our hearts before him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he commanded us. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in God, and God in him. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and is now in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world. Therefore, they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. We just sang that, didn't we? In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that, remember that means application, so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation of our sins. That means substitute, if you will, atonement. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. What Spirit is that? The Spirit of love, the Holy Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment. And whoever has fear, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him. Whoever loves God must also love his brother. I did a study one time to see how many times John says love in this text, and it's a lot. I'll just say that. Real quick, last couple verses. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. You know what John keeps repeating? Love each other. And he's focusing specifically on the body of Christ, because guess what? If you can't love one another, if we can't love those who are born of God, if we can't love fellow Christians and brothers and sisters in Christ, I must hate the world. Because if I can't love you guys and care enough about you to do anything, what would I ever do for people who are lost in sin?
You understand? That's why he's hammering this so much. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey his commandments. For this is the love of God. Hear this again. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments aren't burdensome. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world, and that is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Oh, God, I know he will. May God bless the reading of this scripture. Like I said, it was a long reading, but I want you to hear that. Read it all together because it all connects and it's all for a purpose. It's, and that, the reason the application is going to be quick because John really has two singular points. And that's what we're going to talk about. But I want to briefly mention, what does love do to us? Which is why we want the flames of love to spread. So what love does? Let's talk about what love does. Real quick, if you go back to 1 John 3:13, you'll see a sad reality of living in the true love of God is that people who refuse to abide in God's living truth oppose it. You know what that means? The world hates it. The world hates genuine love. Do you understand that? The world hates real love because you know what real love does? Real love holds you accountable. Real love makes you change. Real love makes you say no to what I want to do and say yes to what the thing I love says to do. You know how many changes I've had to make for my wife? I can't just leave my clothes on the floor anymore. I can't just leave the kitchen a mess and then come back and clean it once it gets so bad I see an ant walking around everywhere. You know, like, and I'm using a silly example, but when you love something, you change. And we can't say we love God if we don't change. And by changing into God's love, the world hates it. That's why Jesus says, don't be surprised if the world hates you because it hated me first. And Jesus loved everybody. But he told them the truth. Love does not condone evil. Not God's love. God's love holds things accountable. Because God, while God is love, God is also truth. And we're going to dive into that in just a moment. A person can measure if they know Jesus. We're kind of in 1 John 3 again. If you go back, flip a couple of pages, or maybe just one. A person can measure if they know Jesus and have truly moved out of the realm of darkness and death into light and life by whether or not they love. Whoever doesn't love is abiding in what? Death. How can eternal life abide in someone who can't love? So if you're not loving people around you, and again, what's something that John says in John 3:18? Love is not this. Love is not this. Because I can tell you I love you all day and then none of my actions ever support it. Love is shown through action. Love is so much more than just talking and saving face. You know, love poems and all that stuff, you know, that's nice. What do you actually do to show me you love me? What do you actually do? What have you done to show God you love him? You come to church on Sunday? I mean, that's good. Believe me, that's a command. You need to be here. But is that it? Would I just do one thing for my wife? Estella, I love you, so I will take out the trash once a week. Let's make it real. How does that sound now? Does that sound like love? Does that sound like a good partner? A good husband? No. Sounds like a bum. And I laugh, but I'm serious. Are we bums in our faith? Think about it. Apply it. Jesus reveals his love to, or real quick, you know, hatred comes from the same emotional place as murder. It's a point that Jesus made in Matthew 5, 21 through 24. And so John now proves his point that the lack of love is evidence of spiritual death. If you have no love, God is love, you don't have God. Pretty simple math equation there. Jesus reveals his love to us specifically how believers are to love one another. And John concludes verse 18 with that challenge. He challenges his readers to let their love be genuine. And genuine love is sacrificial in nature, which is why it's giving and doing things. Because you know what you're always sacrificing? Time. Time is the most important resource we have. And if I take my time to go help you, man, I hope you know that it means I love you. Because I do value my time. And Jesus is our example of sacrificial love. By this we know love, that Jesus died for us so that we can have eternal life. And so by living in genuine love, we can know we are of the truth and have confidence before God, because we try to do our best to obey His commandments, and the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. That's the whole 19 through 24 part in John, 1 John 3. The whole idea is living in love helps us have a positive conscience toward God. Because if I'm abiding in love and obeying His commandments, and it was already addressed earlier in 1 John chapter 1, we didn't read it, but if I confess my sins when they do come up, I'm abiding in life. John doesn't expect perfection. Jesus doesn't expect perfection, but He expects you to do your best. And by doing that, I can have confidence to come before God and ask things of Him. Love allows me to abide in God by living in His Spirit through the sacrifice of His Son. By abiding in God, His love grows in us as we walk in it. And this in turn allows us to have confidence on the day of judgment. Notice that. That was in 1 John chapter 4. In 1 John chapter 4, I got to go back here. Yeah. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. Because as He is, so are we in this world. When I have Jesus' blood covering me and I abide in that sacrifice and I live for Jesus Christ, His love covers me. His blood covers me. You know what that means? I don't have to be afraid. Because the end of 1 John, one of my favorite verses now, because I used to say, you know, Lord willing, I go to heaven. Lord willing, I go to heaven. You know, God, please let me go to heaven. You know, I'm doing everything I can. And don't get me wrong, I don't think that's a terrible attitude to have, but something John writes in 1 John 5:13, at the end of his epistle here, he says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son, so that you may know you have eternal life. Not think about it, not hope for it, but that you may know. And that was really encouraging for me. I remember reading that, and it's like, man, it's like I never knew that. And it's not an arrogance in ourselves. It's a confidence by abiding in the love of God and obeying His commands, because that is the love of God. He literally says it right there in chapter 5. He says, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. It is God's love to obey. Then I can have confidence. Because perfect love, there is no fear in perfect love. And if we're still living in fear, then we have not allowed God to perfect us in love. We need to be changed. We need to be challenged. We need to grow in our love so that I can live boldly and confidently that no matter what happens, I know where I'm going. And we can feel that way. And again, it's not an arrogance in myself that Joshua is so great and good, because Joshua stinks. Joshua's no good. But Jesus living, or I should say Joshua living in Jesus and letting His light shine through me is good, because it's Jesus that's doing everything anyway. And so real quick, the root of love. You see, that's what love kind of does to us. But what is the root of love? Notice in 1 John 4, 7 through 12, and then 1 John 3:16, what we just read, we can only know love because Jesus laid down His life for us, and that God is love and that He loved us, right? We love because He first loved us. Man. God manifests His love in and through Jesus and His Spirit. The root of love is vital to understand, because whenever we show the world real love, notice this. Go to 1 John 4:12. 1 John 4:12, look at that verse. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, though, God abides in us, and His love is perfected in us. You know what that's telling me? That if I live in genuine love, people can see a glimpse of God. They're not actually seeing His physical, His spiritual form, I guess. But God is love. And so by living in genuine love, people can see God and see who He is. You understand that? Why is it so vital for us to live in love and understand the root of love? Because that's how people see God. And so many people see Christians as people full of hate and judgment. And I think it's because we don't correctly display love. I'll be the first to admit it. I think Christians often do come across as judgmental. I think Christians often do come across as, I'm better than you. Yeah, bring it up here. Thank you. Marcus, my man. I'm dying up here. Thank you, man. So It's like I watched a football game yesterday or something. So the thing is that it is necessary for us to understand where our idea of love comes from, because it proves and shows where our authority is. And our authority is God. Because you know what? The devil is fine with us living a moral life. The devil is okay with, man, you can be a good person. You can love people. You can help the homeless. You can help the needy. You can do all this stuff. The devil's okay with you being good by earthly standards, because as long as he can take the authority of God away from everything that we're doing, he's winning, at least in our lives. He's already lost. And he's just trying, literally like a desperate child, trying to drag everyone down with him. That's what he is. That's what he's trying to do, but do not underestimate him, because the devil's good at what he does. And so naturally, truth and love, this is where we're going to end this morning, because I want you to know that truth and love cannot be separated. They cannot be separated. The themes of 1 John, when you read the letter, are simply these two things, and that's why, you know, I think that big text that we read, they very much summarize the themes of John, and that is the commands to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and to love the brothers and obey God's commands. Those three things are bottled up as the main themes of 1 John. You know where John got that from? Jesus' answer in Matthew 22, 38 through 40. He was asked, "Teacher, what is the greatest command?" And Jesus answered, "To love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, with all your strength. And the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments stand all the law and the prophets." It's the foundation, loving God and loving your brothers and sisters, loving the people around you. Remember, Jesus says, who are my mother, my brother, and my sisters? Remember when he's asked that? It's those who abide in his word. It's not blood relation, it's obedient children of God. And if we can't love our brothers and sisters, how can we love our neighbor? Because the second greatest commandment is to love your neighbor, which I feel like goes a step further than just your family. But how can you love the people around you if you can't even love your family in Christ? And so John is building on the themes of this. And I haven't taken the time to talk about why does John focus so much on Jesus coming in the flesh? Because these Gnostic false teachers believe that Jesus didn't actually come as a full human. And so John's combating that. And that's the only background I'm going to give you on this letter for now. The themes of this letter, they reflect Jesus' comment, as we said. And so when you read 1 John 4, 1 through 6, it seems random. It seems like, why would John throw this in here about testing the, don't believe all the spirits, but test the spirits? Like, that seems random. He's been talking about love and obeying God. Why would he throw this in there? This is how we recognize, you know, it seems like a random insert, but it isn't. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood, John concludes. We can test the spirits and get to know which is which by examining both the message they proclaim through their human instruments and the character of the audience which listens to them. You know, a really interesting and kind of scary thing that this text teaches us is that there is a spirit behind every statement made about Jesus. There is a spirit behind every statement made. You know, Paul talks about in Ephesians 6 that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but what do we wrestle against? What does it say? Against the spiritual powers of darkness. Demons do still exist today. You think, I mean, you know, people may not be, well, maybe they are, I don't know. I mean, you think drugs don't look like demon possession? I mean, think about, like I said, I don't want to dive down that road too much, but I just want to mention, you think the devil doesn't work and that demons aren't trying to do his will today, the devil's will? You think every statement made about Jesus Christ, there is a spirit behind it, a spirit of influence, if you will. It's either the spirit of error or the spirit of truth. And that's why this text is in here, because genuine love is rooted in what? The truth. So it's not random that these passages are here. It is calculated by John. And what does he say? He says, this is how you know this. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. He's directly talking about how the Gnostics are saying Jesus didn't come in the flesh, so he's being specific to the situation. But today, how can we know the spirit of truth from the spirit of error? You got to know what this says. If you don't know your Bible and what the truth of what Jesus said is, you'll never be able to distinguish spirit of truth and spirit of error. If I don't know what Jesus said about himself and his mission, how can I know what's false teaching and what's not? You think Jesus is joking when he says narrow is the way that leads to eternal life and broad is the road that leads to destruction? Do you think Jesus is joking when he says many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy? Did we not do all these things? Did we not cast out demons in your name? And Jesus says, depart from me. I never knew you. And before that, he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do the will of my Father who is in heaven. Because, yes, there's belief. You got to have faith. We are saved by grace through faith. But real faith doesn't sit on a pew or chair. Real faith is motivated by love to act. James chapter 2 reminds us, you believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe. Even the demons know God is real. So belief must create something in us. And Paul and James both talk about that. They're not saying different things, because Paul says our works are now motivated by the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit, and now we live life in the Spirit. Again, not trying to dive too off base here. But real quick, the real love is rooted in the truth of God's word, and we have been given the spirit of love. In 1 John 3:19, John says that it is by the way we love people that we can know we are of the truth and reassure our hearts before him. We are children of God, born of God, when we what? Love and obey his commandments. God's love, it said it right there in 1 John 5:3, is that we keep his commandments. And if we are born of God, which means I love God and obey his commandments, which is everything, then we can overcome the world through faith in Jesus Christ. And that's what I want you to start thinking of right now as we conclude. We're wrapping it up, I promise. This is the end of the sermon. And so I want you to think about, as I'm saying these last couple of comments, have you overcome the world? I should say, are you overcoming the world through faith right now? You see, God has given us the spirit of power. We talked about that last week. Love, talking about it now. Next week, Lord willing, we'll talk about self-control in a world of chaos. And so here's the application and how we're going to end. If we truly want to belong to God, we must spread the flames of love to one another in this building and to those who do not know God. And I don't have to dive into too many of the details because Evan got pretty specific with some things that you can do. There's some practical service things you can do, but notice every time Jesus did serve somebody physically and helped them with a physical need and ailment, he always tied it with spiritual truth and used it as an opportunity and a doorway to tell them the gospel. And so if I can add one thing to all the things Evan was saying, is use these as opportunities to spread the truth, because truth and love cannot be separated. People today say, love is love. Love ain't just love. Because real love is rooted in the truth of God's word. At least real love, sacrificial, spiritual love, which is what we're all about. Matthew 25, 31 through 46. I'm not going to read it, but that's some homework if you want to go read it. It's a picture of the judgment day. It's a picture of the judgment day and how the sheep and the goats are separated, you know, into the sheep, you know, well done, good and faithful servant, you know, come on home. To the goats, the other ones. You know, he turns them away. Not because he wants to, but because God is just and righteous and true. And we have to show our love to people. One of the things that people say to Jesus in that text is, Lord, when did we see you? Hungry, sick, in prison, naked, unclothed, you know, when did we see you in all these things? And Jesus says, whatever you did to the least of these, my brothers, you did to me. That's what Jesus says. Whatever you did to the least of these, my brothers, you did to me. And so these service things, they're not meaningless. You know, if Brother Pete and Fran here, if they need someone to go weed their yard or anything like that or cut the grass, that's not light work and it's not something meaningless. If you're helping someone, it can be something simple as that, or it could be something of Maybe someone needs to sit down and you're a great listener and they just need to talk. And you can serve them in that way and love them by listening. I am a terrible listener and I'm trying to be better. I'm really trying to be better. My wife tells me that, you know, I do okay sometimes, but I'm trying to be better. Listening is one of the most sincere forms of love because people want to be heard. And everyone today has always got something to say. But if we can learn to listen, be quick to hear and slow to speak, I think that's the first way we can begin by showing God's love. So let me finish with this question. We're talking about love, and we've heard about how there's no fear in love, how love gives us confidence on the day of judgment. We can assure our hearts before God if we abide in love. And again, that's love and truth. And the love of God is this, that we obey His commandments. Let me ask you this final question. Would you be confident if judgment came today? Could you stand boldly? When I say stand boldly, hopefully we bow boldly before God's throne. But, you know, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. On the day of judgment, if it came right, if it came, you know, later this afternoon, if it came, you know, as soon as I finish this sentence, if it came in a week, no one knows the day, not even Jesus when he was here. He said, only the Father knows. But if that day comes, will you be confident and not afraid? Because you're abiding in love. If not, we can fix that this morning. If you've never put on Jesus Christ in baptism, if you've never been buried with him and died to your old way of life and coming up out of the water, being washed of your sins, receiving the gift of God's Spirit, the Spirit that helps us abide in love and truth and power, we can do that for you this morning right over here. If you are a Christian and maybe you don't feel very loving in your life and you don't feel God's just overwhelming love pouring from you and the flames around you spreading to other people, come forward. We'll pray for you. Let's stop living in this Instagram world where we think we're all perfect and got it together. Every single one of us are going through something. We all struggle. We all need one another, and we need to pray for one another, and we need to be more willing and bold to come up and ask for prayers for other people and love one another, even if it's a smaller pocket of people. You cannot do this alone. Neither can I. So let's do it together. If you're subject to this invitation, won't you come forward as we stand and as we sing?